The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about Severance Season 2, and we will present an interview with creator and showrunner Dan Erickson. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film staff writer Jeremy Mathai.
Hey, folks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Jeremy, I wanted to have you on the show because you wrote the review of Severance Season 2 for Slash Film. Before we get into Season 2, though, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts on Season 1 of the show. It's been almost 3 years since we've last seen an episode of Severance. So what did you think about Season 1?
Yeah, it's a combination of the strikes and the development team definitely taking their time just to make sure Season 2 is right. But I thought Season 1 really was one of the best sci-fi shows, genre shows, just television in general that I've seen in years. And, you know, a lot of the hype went to that finale and the cliffhanger ending and just how amazing that was to end the entire season on. But honestly, all those episodes leading up to it beforehand were some of the strongest writing I've seen on TV in years. So I was a fan. You could say that I was a fan. 10 out of 10. I loved this season.
I did too. And I mentioned this on the show before, but leading up to the interview that I did with Dan Erickson, which happened in like the middle of December, because there was such a long break between seasons, I begrudgingly went back and rewatched the first season because I was like, there's just no way that I'm going to remember all these details. And I had just a really terrible attitude about the whole thing. And I loved the experience of rewatching the show because it's so good. I thought it was going to be like a checking the box kind of thing, just like going through the motions. But I really fell back in love with the show all over again. And that's the sign of a really great show, I think. So we're not going to spoil anything beyond the first episode. That first episode of Season 2 is up for people to watch right now on Apple TV Plus. We're not going to really get into detail for anything that happens beyond that. I'll just say I thought the first season was this incredibly smart show about the ways that American workers are like subjugated by corporate overlords and how inhuman and repetitive it can feel to work in an office. And that idea of like the work-life balance was so innovative and interestingly handled in the show, the way that they depicted that, I just thought was brilliant. So for me, season two is kind of about how impossible it can feel to break free from those confines. And also, even the people who buddy up to corporate power, which is something that unfortunately is happening a lot in our real world right now, even those people find themselves constantly manipulated and dehumanized. So broadly speaking, Jeremy, without really spoiling anything, what did you think about the 6 episodes of Severance Season 2 that you and I have seen so far?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I thought if Season 1 was about just the way that corporations kind of, you know, strip people of their humanity and just exploit the working class to the fullest extent that they can, and even beyond that, Season 2 really doubles down on that in a really interesting ways that we might not necessarily have expected the first time around. I mean, it gets into the weeds. I'm not going to spoil anything, any details, but it really does get into the weeds of things like, you know, those faux apologies that corporations sometimes send out, you know, we hear you, we're listening, that sort of thing. The writers have a lot of fun messing around with those sorts of things in ways that, honestly, I didn't see coming. And, I mean, the characters are, the arcs that they take this time around are just a perfect transition point from where we ended the last time. And I mean, some people, I wrote this a little bit of this in my review. I feel like some people might call the beginning of the season a little slow, and it does take a very deliberate approach to the pacing. that might rub some people the wrong way, but I don't know. I was totally on board for this. I'm so interested to see the reaction to this show.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. And now we're going to talk in detail about the premiere episode because everyone has access to that right now. So you mentioned there's kind of a little bit of a bait and switch kind of thing happening here. And I talked a little to Dan Erickson about this. Like the first half of this premiere episode, it introduces this new cast. And there's this thing with Mr. Milchick showing Mark S. the newspaper, like showing about how the innies are heroes in the outside world. And there's all this stuff. And it kind of puts you on this uneven footing as a viewer. You know, you're after 3 years, you're like, this is what I'm being dropped into. And then it's whatever, 20 minutes or something before Mark finally reunites with the core cast that we came to love over the course of the first season. So what did you think about the way the show dropped us back into this world and kind of had us off balance a little bit?
So some of the smartest shows, like I'm going to go back to like season two of Lost, The Leftovers, even Mr. Robot to an extent, they have this way of following up a strong season one with a season two that immediately puts you on your back heel in the best possible way. So yes, it messes with your expectations when after that really bravado opening sequence, that's all frenetic. It's Mark S. running around, you're not entirely sure what's going on. And then all of a sudden, it kind of just resets the status quo to where it was in season one, where, all right, he's back at his desk with a new team, sure, but he's still plugging away at those numbers, and everything seems like it hadn't, you know, what they did last season had no effect, which is just bizarre. It's almost like nothing actually mattered, but I loved it. It's the way that they hit that transition point with, okay, those new cast members, Bob Balaban, Aaliyah Shawkat, all of them, they're here for a fun little cameo, and now they're gone, and now we're back to our old crew back. And it's just like, I don't know. I was fully on the wavelength here. I really enjoy the bait and switch and the way that they handled that. I don't know how a lot of fans will take that, but I'm so curious to see the reaction.
Yeah, definitely. And I have a feeling, and you say this in your review, that the whole season might be a little divisive just because, I don't know, like thematically it's the same show, but in a way that I can't quite describe, it also feels pretty different from season one. And I wonder if you've had any time to think about that difference and whether or not, it sounds like it works for you, but have you been able to kind of put your finger on what that difference is, I guess, without really spoiling anything beyond the premiere?
Yeah, if I had any answer to this question, it would be getting deep into the weeds of the episodes to come. So I'll leave that alone for now, but I will say pay attention to episode one and especially episode two. The attention to detail in this show is pretty mind-blowing, and it's honestly the first time I can remember wanting to go back after reviewing a season and getting all the, you know, getting the first six episodes. I instantly wanted to go back and rewatch it from the beginning all over again, just to see the things that I missed along the way. It's a sign of a show that trusts its audience to that extent, that it's just working on a level that the casual viewer might not pick up on these details, but if you're observing it and you're really paying attention, it's going to be a rewarding watch, believe me.
Yeah, yeah. So was there anything in the premiere episode specifically that jumped out at you? Any particular scene or moment or anything like that that you wanted to highlight here?
The first one that we definitely have to talk about is during that presentation with Mr. Milchick in the new and improved break room, they fire up that animation of Lumen Industries and the building is talking and all that. I mean, that's Keanu Reeves right there. They somehow secured a Keanu Reeves voice cameo for that. And it is just quintessential Severance right there. The amount of layers going on in that scene, the satire of, you know, again, we're listening. We apologize. We're making things better in the most minuscule, meaningless ways. It is just I was dying. I was laughing as hard as I could.
Man, I didn't even think about this until you just brought that up because I was so bowled over by that cameo appearance. Like, he's not credited in this episode, Keanu. And so when I was listening to it, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's him. And I was so focused on, you know, listening really intently and making sure that was him or whatever that I didn't even think about this sort of meta aspect of that casting where, like, he is talking as the Lumen building. You know, he's almost a personification of this terrible tech company that is clearly doing some evil, heinous shit, right? So right. It's almost like Keanu is reversed from his role as Neo in the Matrix. It's like he is the machines or something at this point. I didn't even think about that. That's great. So,
yeah, I loved it. It was so good.
Yeah. Okay. So before we transition over into the interview, I mean, the thing that stands out to me so far in this season, Jeremy, again, without really spoiling anything, is that it feels like Tramiel Tillman, who plays Mr. Milchick, he really levels up in a pretty big way here. Even in the premiere episode, it feels like he has a lot of stuff to do early on in the season. And he just has a much bigger, meatier role than he had the first time around. And I wanted to highlight that because I think he rises to meet the moment and kind of like exceeds the expectations that I think the show has for him. So shout out to that. Anything else that you wanted to mention about the season overall or this premiere episode, Jeremy?
Just to jump off that, I'll go so far to say that Mr. Milchick is honestly one of my MVPs of the season overall. They really gave him an expanded role this time around, and he just runs with it. Him and John Turturro, John Turturro alone gets a handful of scenes that are some of the best in the entire show's run, I would say. So I would say, you know, definitely keep an eye on those two characters in particular. The writers really, really made up for their relatively small roles the first time around, but it's great stuff.
Yeah, man, the show is so good. I can't wait to finish out the season. I'm in this state where I watched the 6 episodes halfway through December, right before my chat with Dan and Erickson that people were about to hear, and I only got the first 6, and I think there's something like 10 episodes in the second season. And now I have to wait like everybody else to watch them. And like, I think it's February 21st or something when the 7th episode comes out. So I have to wait that long to kind of complete the circle. So in the meantime, I'm in this state of like, I don't know, my body is just tingling. I'm waiting for Severance season 2 to actually roll out so I can properly catch up with it. But yeah, excellent stuff. So yeah, this is Apple TV Plus. Again, obviously a fantastic show. And I'm very curious. I would love to hear from our listeners what you all think about the show so far. So feel free to email us as the show is going along, you know, what you think about it. Because as Jeremy and I mentioned, there's a lot of potential, I think, for people to really love what the show is doing and be on its wavelength, or also be like, what the hell is this? You know, it's so sort of subtly different than what it was doing the first time around. So we would love to hear from you all. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and get into my interview with Dan Erickson.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zaxby's just out Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back. With garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Awesome. Congratulations.
Besides being trapped in MDR, are you okay?
Yes, I'm. Despite my background, yes, I'm very much okay. So congratulations on season 2. And just to put you at ease right at the top, I'm going to talk about some things that happened in the season 2 premiere, and I'll publish this after that episode goes up, but I'm not going to ask about anything past that because I don't want to spoil things for people. So,
thank you.
So a timing question to start things off. Did you begin writing season 2 after the first season came out?
No, we were working on it while we were actually still in production for season 1. So there was a period where I was like on set. I would be there for rehearsal, and then I would go and I would join the writer's room via Zoom. And that was a little bit of a crazy time.
Interesting. Yeah. I was wondering if like the "You're All Famous" bit where Milchick shows Mark the newspaper article was sort of like a meta nod to the success of the first season, but it sounds like that wasn't the case. So that's
a little bit. Although, well, I will say, like, you know, we started writing, but a lot of the scripts were not finalized until after we had wrapped production and in fact, until the show had come out. So So that actually there was kind of a fun meta element to that line.
Were
That's
you
true.
able to incorporate, like, change anything or course correct or whatever based on the response to season one, or were you really trying not to pay attention to any of the outside reaction?
We didn't want to be too beholden to it, because I think like that way lies madness. But at the same time, we were, I think it was sort of a gift to be able to hear people's reaction, find out what people were falling in love with, and there was a version, there's a version where nobody cared about the goats, and we maybe didn't feel like it was as necessary to follow up on that, but in fact, people care very much about the goats, and so it's a mix. You want to listen to some of it, but you don't want that to be the main thing guiding what you do.
100%. So Severance is your first big show, and I'm wondering what you learned from season one that you were able to apply to season two.
Yeah, I mean, I had worked on the lip sync battle YouTube pre-show prior to Severance, and that was my main thing. And I learned a lot from that, but I will say I learned more on season one. I think trying to find that just the balance of the role that humor plays on the show, because I've said this about the show before, that it's a comedy in the foreground, and it's a thriller in the background, where a lot of the scary stuff is building up on the periphery as we are arguing about pencil erasers and group photos, and that was something that I didn't even fully understand when we were writing the first season, but that balance became very apparent once it came out and I was able to watch it. And I sort of pointed at that as something that we need to try to replicate. So, yeah, just literally learning what the tone of the show is, because in a way, you don't get it until everybody on the creative team has been able to put their stamp on it. And then all of a sudden, you're watching the show and you go, oh, that's what it is. I didn't know.
When you were in post on season two, were you able to put together cuts of these episodes and then say, you know what, we actually need more here? And did you have time for reshoots and things like that? Or were you able to sort of tweak things in that way?
There was a little bit of that. There weren't a lot of straight up reshoots, but there were a couple of things where we realized like we needed a little more connective tissue on something, either on a story level or a character level. And especially for the earlier episodes, where we still got all the sets up and everything, so we were able to go back and tweak a few of those things. But for the most part, it was, we were pretty happy with once the cuts came in. We were like, these are pretty good.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit more about that first episode. It's not until about 20 minutes in that Mark reunites with his coworkers from the first season. And I was wondering if you could tell me about why you wanted to structure the episode in a way that kind of has the audience on its heels immediately and then kind of, I guess, settles us in a little bit more in the back half.
Yeah, I mean, on just a kind of a fun, mischievous level, we wanted people to wonder, like, oh God, is this the new cast of the show? Like, is this going to be a show about these characters? And we wanted to create characters where, on a level, you would be okay with that, because these are really fun. It's Bob Balaban and Alia and Stefano are and they all play so well off each other, and they're foils for Mark in a way that we haven't seen before. But at the same time, I remember the day that we shot the scene where Helly and Irving and Dylan come back, and I remember like getting a little teary, because it was like, you find that you've been wanting that, like you find that you've been craving that team. As wonderful as these other characters are, we want our core four back together, because we've invested so much in them and we love them. And so we wanted it to be, a little bit of a misdirect, but then ultimately bringing us back to the team that we've come to know and love.
So from a big picture perspective, how do you approach keeping the audience invested in the corporate machinations of Lumen, because we relate so strongly to Mark and Helly and Dylan and Irving that I imagine as a writer, it might be a little difficult to switch perspectives to the Lumen side of things. So do you have an approach for how you handle that?
Yeah, we really, we see a lot more like privileged scenes with just the management team this time around. And we see team, you know, we see scenes with characters who are, where before we only seen the results of their actions, and now we're following them a little bit more as characters. And that's harder because you don't want those characters, you never want those characters to feel, you know, like these kind of soulless arch villains. At the same time, you don't want to let them off the hook. So this season we try to get into a lot more to what makes Seth Milchick tick, what makes Harmony Cobell tick, what makes Helena Egan tick. Because at the end of the day, like nobody is evil for the sake of being evil. Everybody thinks they either are following some personal need or they're doing something that they think at the end of the day is the right thing to do. And so it was really interesting to get into those questions for these characters that maybe before have mostly just been presented as foils for our protagonists.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an idea in your head of how this show will end?
I do. I have a scene in mind that's kind of mostly been unchanged since the first, you know, since I first brought the show to Ben and I told him, and he was like, "Oh, that's pretty good." A lot has changed about the plan. I won't pretend that it's like been this structurally perfect thing from day one. We've interrogated it and we've updated it as we've gone along, but the skeleton of it and the end point, that sort of remained our North Star from the beginning.
So like, how specific is your vision for the end? Like, do you know where each character ends up, or do you just have kind of a broad idea of what will happen? Or do you just have like the single last moments in your mind? Cause TV is such a fun medium in that like, it's so fluid. And like, there's obviously the stories about like Jesse Pinkman on Breaking Bad, like that character popping in such a big way. And like the whole show is totally different because of that. So obviously you leave yourself room to sort of change things on the fly, but like, how specific is your vision of how you want this to wrap up?
Yeah, it's you can definitely underplan a show like this, but you can also overplan it. And if you're too rigidly stuck to your original conception of it, then you can really impede your progress. My original version of the script was very different, and before I brought it to Ben, you know, there was a version that was much more heightened. It was closer to something like Brazil or almost like a Monty Python thing where it was dark, but then there was this almost magical realism. And you know, had I been obsessively married to that, we never would have gotten the show that we got. And so you have to sort of take that lesson and use that moving forward, and remember that there may be a better version of this that you don't know yet, and you have to be open to that. And you have to let yourself fall in love with certain characters or other elements of the story that you didn't expect to, and be able to think on your feet and weave them into the narrative and be like, okay, I didn't expect to love this guy, but now we can't make the show without him. So what's his role in the rest of this thing?
Mm-hmm. So with all of that said, and this is the last question I'll ask you about the ending, like how many seasons do you think make sense for Severance as a whole?
We have a number in mind. I think that's all I can say.
Okay,
but
fair enough.
We have a pretty good number in mind that we're not positive, where it's like, maybe we'll do more, but probably it's going to be this number.
Gotcha. Okay. So tell me about working with Keanu Reeves on the Lumen is Listening video. I'm pretty sure it was Keanu. He's not credited in that first episode, but it sure sounded a lot like him.
Well, I certainly have no idea what you could be talking about. I'm not actually familiar with that actor.
I see.
is that the guy from The Lake House?
It is, in fact.
I do love The Lake House.
Okay, so that line of questioning is clearly going nowhere. So I will just ask you instead. Tell me about working with Ben Stiller, like the relationship and that dynamic. How has that evolved from season one to season two?
I think that we've sort of solidified the way that we communicate with each other. Ben has always been a really generous collaborator, and he has so much energy and puts so much of his time and effort into the show, which, like, he's Ben Stiller. He doesn't have to do that, but he does. And that I've always felt like, I have to up my game to match what he's doing. But I was coming into this having no experience and working with somebody with decades of experience. And so there was, that I had to kind of learn how to approach that. And by this time we've been doing this long enough that we really, I think we each have a lot of respect for each other's role and each other's judgment. And we'll reach a point where, we have different ideas for which way we want to go. But it's I think that we've gotten really good at sort of hearing each other and listening to each other and understanding that somewhere between us there's that sweet spot. And that it takes both of our input to really get there.
Yeah, definitely. So the last question I have for you, what, if anything, do you feel comfortable teasing about the rest of this season for our readers and listeners?
I just I think the MDR team got a big victory at the end of season one, but at Lumen there is no victory without pain and reprisal. And you punch Lumen in the nose, you're gonna get punched back in your whole head, and it's not gonna be as they're never going to be obvious or overt in the way that they hit back, but the punch is coming. So I think people should go in understanding that there's gonna be some dire consequences for the heroes that we've come to love.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Dan. And congrats again. I love the show.
Thank you. Thanks.
Take care. All right. That's going to do it for today's episode of the show. I'm going to link to Jeremy's review of Severance Season 2 in the show notes, so you can find it really easily right there. There's going to be much more about Severance Season 2 at slashfilm.com by the time you're listening to this and over the course of the season, so definitely check that out as well. Slashfilm Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.